Hey there, and welcome to the North County Beat. I'm your host, Kelly Kyle. Today's show is all about a local organization helping San Diegans keep food on the table, especially during the aftermath of the pandemic recession. But first, a quick word from our sponsor. Casa de Bandini at the Forum in Carlsbad has in-person dining as well as takeout, so you can get all of those fresh, authentic flavors that you love at home, plus delicious margaritas to go. The Coast News and Casa de Bandini are teaming up to give away $50 gift cards for some great food and drink. For details, follow the Coast News on Facebook. All right, let's get to it. Believe it or not, food insecurity is a big deal in San Diego County. While the area may seem pretty affluent, there are people who struggle to put food on the table, and people that you might not expect. That's why Feeding San Diego exists. The local nonprofit helps redistribute food so that it goes to those who need it and none of it gets wasted. My guest today is Mark Loretta. He sits on the board for Feeding San Diego, but that isn't all he's done. He's also had a pretty robust career as a professional baseball player, which did include a stint for the Padres. He will get into that. I asked Mark about his background in baseball, but we also talked a lot about the work that Feeding San Diego has done throughout the pandemic to get food to residents in need. Here's that conversation. So I just want to start by talking a bit about your baseball career. You're a bit of a baseball superstar. So can you give me some background on your career with the MLB?
Sure. Well, I appreciate the superstar moniker. That's not quite accurate, but played professionally for about 17 years, 15 years in the major league, was with five different teams. Came up with the Milwaukee Brewers. Then I went to Houston, made a stop in San Diego, and then Boston and Los Angeles for the last two. So kind of moved all around. I'm originally from Southern California, but I went to college in the Midwest at Northwestern. I was drafted out of there as a senior, and the rest is sort of history. So went by fast, but had a great time, met some great people, and really enjoyed my career.
Being from SoCal then, did you end your career with the Dodgers? Was that your final MLB stint?
I did, yeah. And that was exciting because I grew up a Dodger fan, went to a lot of games as a kid. And so to come and finish my career with the Dodgers, and we made the playoffs that year, it was really exciting. It was fun to wear that uniform for my last year.
Yeah, that must be like everyone's dream, especially if you make it into the majors. I mean, that's a big achievement within itself, but then playing, that's really exciting. So when you retired and you kind of hung up the jersey, so to speak, what did you end up doing after that?
Yeah, my last year was 2009 playing, and right away I went to work for the Padres, actually, in the front office. The general manager at the time, Jed Hoyer, I had known from my days in Boston. And funny story, I said, hey, do you have any interest in me as a player in 2010? He's like, you know, not really. And I knew my career was over. I was getting to my late 30s and it was time to hang him up. So, but he said, yeah, if you want to come on and work in the front office, do a little bit of baseball operations, do some scouting, et cetera, love to have you. So I did that and actually stayed with the Padres in that capacity until 2019. And then in 19 and 20, I was with the Cubs organization. I was a coach on the major league staff, the bench coach for the Cubs in 2019. And then 2020, I did some consulting. And so now I'm sort of in between stops. So I'm kind of a free agent and enjoying it. I have a 16-year-old daughter who's still at home. So it's been great to spend time with her. And we'll see. I don't know what's next for me, but not too worried about it.
Well, and then in the middle there, I mean, somehow you got involved with Feeding San Diego, which is why we have you here today. So how did you get introduced to that organization? And then kind of how did you get to where you are with them right now?
Yeah, you know, Kelly, when I retired, I always knew I wanted to kind of immerse myself in the community of San Diego. We'd lived here since 2003, since we played with the Padres. But when you're playing, it's kind of tough to really immerse yourself in organizations and charitable causes. And there's so many great organizations, but I always had an affinity for what I guess you can call basic human need charities. You know, for me, you know, there's so many great charities surrounding healthcare and the arts and all that stuff. But if you don't have the basic human needs of food, water, shelter, it's really hard to think about anything else. It's kind of a hierarchy of needs. So when I was introduced to Feeding San Diego, it just was a really good fit. And our friend Allison Glader, mentioned it to me, and so I ended up joining the board about 5 years ago. I had to come off the board when I went to Chicago, but now they've had me come back and now rejoin the board. So really have an affinity for the organization. They do great work in a lot of areas, and really happy to be with them.
Yeah, and that's so important. Like what you said, the basic human needs, kind of the charities that help with that. Because if you can't eat, I mean, how can you literally do anything else?
I mean, kids can't get, you know, lunches and get nutrition. You know, they can't study and can't do well in school. It's a really a trickle up effect almost.
It's pretty self-explanatory within the name Feeding San Diego, but can I just have you, in your words, kind of reiterate the mission of this specific organization?
Yeah, really the mission statement is to end hunger in San Diego, to have a healthy, you know, hunger-free San Diego. And the way Feeding San Diego goes about it is to acquire food either through purchase or the part that I love is this food rescue. We have, 600 different partners who, for example, let's say a supermarket has some food there that they have a sell by date, but there's also a date that's a spoil by date, and there's about a 4 or 5 day lag. So the supermarket can't sell it, but they can give it to us to redistribute through our charitable partners, churches, Jewish community centers, etc., that we partner with. And so instead of that food literally going to the landfill, it goes to people who need it. So it's not only servicing the people who need it, but it's also keeping, millions of pounds out of the landfill. And 8% of the greenhouse gases produced in the world come from food. 40%, unbelievable, Kelly, 40% of food is thrown away, if you can imagine this world. And so hunger is not a supply problem, it's a distribution problem. And that's what really Feeding San Diego strives to be, is that distribution between, okay, we can get food. How do we get it to people who need it?
Does Feeding San Diego have a warehouse, kind of like the food bank, or is it mostly through the third party organizations and different nonprofits that you distribute?
Yeah, so we do have a warehouse. We do acquire some food, like I said, through either buying it, or sometimes what's interesting is there's something called ugly food. That farmers literally have to plow under a lot of times if their apple or their potato doesn't look just right to sell in the supermarket, they just get rid of it. So it's perfectly good to eat. It just might not look great, right? So we acquire some of that and bring it to our warehouse. But we're really trying to, we are a food bank, I guess, in name. We're partnered with Feeding America, which is a whole network of food banks throughout the whole country. But I think our mission more is to certainly be a food bank, but also just be that distributor piece. Save it from the landfill, just redistribute it. If we can actually take the food, let's say from a Starbucks, we have a great program with Starbucks, for example. You know all the cooked and prepared food that Starbucks has. They also have a sell-by date, and then there's a spoil date. So we have trucks going every night to every Starbucks in San Diego County. We pick up the stuff that is on the sell date, and then take it to our partner. So it never reaches our warehouse, which is ideal. And that saves all kinds of costs and storing and fuel costs and electricity and all that stuff to store the food. We just want to take it right away to people who need it.
Yeah, and that makes sense kind of as a niche for Feeding San Diego. I know other programs do this too, but like the food bank is known for, here's our facility. We do a lot of things out of our facility. And while they may have these other programs, their priority is the bank itself. Whereas you guys are like, we are the hand that's helping get the food from Starbucks, from restaurants that aren't using it or things they have left over. And we are getting that to people, whether it's through a nonprofit, whether it's through a Feeding San Diego meal distribution program, like whatever it might be. So I totally see that. You're the connector between it all.
Like almost like, yeah, like a broker almost.
Yes, yes, a broker of food. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's very efficient. When it works like that, it's very efficient. Instead of bringing all the food to a central location and then distributing it from there, it just cuts out that big step.
Right. And something else that I wanted to talk to you about too, I think a common misconception in this area is that in North County specifically, everybody is affluent and well-to-do and hunger isn't really an issue. But we know that that's not the case. So can you kind of speak to that need as much as you know in the North County area or even maybe the more affluent areas of San Diego, but just is the need there?
Absolutely. No. I mean, hunger isn't specific to one necessary area. You know, for example, North County is home to a large military contingent, as you know. And unfortunately, with the cost of living, you know, it's not always easy for military families to make ends meet with all their expenses and everything else. I mean, we have hundreds of thousands of different families who are, you know, are either active military or military dependents, and you know, they have a lot of need. And so we have distribution capabilities a lot through North County, and whether it be Escondido or in the Carlsbad shops, Oceanside, things like that. And we've had a lot of large scale distributions since February that's really filled a big need. And as you mentioned, particularly from COVID has even exacerbated this problem.
Yeah. And that was another thing that I also wanted to chat about was COVID's impact on the work. Because something I think is really fascinating is when we kind of go back in time to the early days of the pandemic, like everything was scary, right? Like going to the grocery store was risky. I mean, like getting, and then people lost their jobs at the same time. So you had the need shoot up, but then you also had the risk factor shoot up. So like how did Feeding San Diego kind of navigate that very unique kind of scary, uncertain time?
Yeah, it was a big challenge, no doubt. And I credit, you know, our leadership group and the people on the ground with Feeding San Diego. They really, you know, worked overtime and thankfully through the outpourings of this community, you know, the donations really spiked in COVID. You know, we were able to raise a lot more money, which enabled us to get more trucks and to find delivery. And we actually had to buy more food during COVID than we normally would because, like you said, you know, grocery stores weren't ordering as much food because people weren't buying as much. So they didn't have as much leftover, et cetera, et cetera. So since February, and this went in on with COVID as well, but we've served over 50,000 people all over the county, like you mentioned, including North County. And some of the other distribution spots we've used, like Legoland parking lot, for example, where 1,000 families come in and each one gets 50 pounds of food, which includes protein and fruit and vegetables and dry goods. So one of our strong missions, too, is we don't want to just give people kind of empty calories. Our founder is very particularly about we only give nutritious food. You know, I mean, obviously, where do you draw the line on that? But we don't do candy and you know, that kind of thing that really, you know, could be calories, but it's not going to be nutritious. We want to have San Diego be hunger-free, but also healthy.
Yeah, things that can sustain you. Like, we're not just saying, hey, here's $10 to McDonald's. Like,
not that that's a bad thing, but...
Right. You still get to eat. But if you're able to kind of curate that and say, hey, we'd prefer to give this, like, well-rounded meal, then that totally makes sense as to why you would do that.
Yeah, exactly. And it's great. You know, there's a lot of dignity around it, too, because people that, you know, can essentially stay in their cars, and we have 1,000 volunteers who are there just to, you know, they pop in a trunk and they load it right in. And during normal circumstances, we try to set it up, you know, not just as a handout, but people come in and they get a bag and they're able to almost shop and look at different things. Okay, my family likes potatoes. My family doesn't like tomatoes. My family, you know, we like zucchini, et cetera. So it's not just like, okay, here it is. It's a chance to really, you know, shop and have that dignity of this is not just a handout, but I can choose what I'm getting.
And are you, do you guys know when you're going to kind of get back to that model, or have you still been sticking to the distribution?
We've been sticking to the distribution just because the need's been so high and that's how we can get as much food out. But I expect towards the end of the summer or the fall to probably be back to that distribution of more of like a food pantry type thing.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I mean, I think we're kind of talking about this a little bit, but obviously the pandemic, the effects of pandemic job loss and that recession are lingering and are here, and some people are still out of work. Are you noticing these like lingering effects in terms of how the poverty in the area was affected, like how people lost their jobs? Is that lingering, and do you see that reflected in the meal distribution efforts right now?
We do, yeah. You know, I think it's going to take a while for it to smooth out and come back to kind of equilibrium. But there's a lot of people who are in trouble, you know, with their job loss and not being sure of, you know, where their next meal is going to come from. So we're trying to fill that gap. And you know, it's also interesting too is you know, we get very few people who take advantage of this program. You know, it's not like the people who are, you know, very able-bodied, maybe have a job, but just want to get a free meal or are coming to do it. It's people who legitimately need it. We don't check ID. We don't talk about, okay, you know, what is your bank statement, things like that. It's just, you know, if you're there, we understand that you need it and we're happy to help.
Yeah. And I mean, like, as we talk about food insecurity, that's just a huge conversation, like, nationwide. And I know I've seen reports of just in this area, specifically military. I did a story a couple of years ago on the food bank, and that was one of the biggest things that I learned was how a lot of military families are food insecure. And then another part of that are college students too. And I didn't realize that, because a lot of students come to this area for college, or maybe they're from here, they're doing community college, whatever it is. But like, it's an expensive place to live. And a lot of times as a college student, you don't have that extra income. So I was surprised to learn that as well. Like, it's everywhere.
That's a great point. No question. And particularly, you know, at like Cal State San Marcos and Palomar College, there are kids that, you know, have that need. And the other program that we're excited about is we're calling it Feeding Patients. It's actually a partnership with the San Diego Padres and something called CureBound, where, you know, if there's a lot of families, if you have a catastrophic illness, let's say you have cancer and you've got to go maybe quit your job to do the treatments. You know, there's a big need to help those people with meals as well. So you're right. There's a lot of areas that people wouldn't think, you know, would need food, like the college students or maybe people, you know, who are sick. But it's out there.
Yeah, it is exactly. And I think, again, that was one of my biggest takeaways from that previous story that I did. And just from the work that Feeding San Diego does, like, you guys touch so many people that somebody who, you know, you have a roof over your head, you can afford to go to the grocery store every week, like, you don't necessarily think about that. So,
and it's a big goal. You know, our CEO, Dan Shea, I mean, you know, his goal is to eradicate hunger here in San Diego. And, you know, it's a lofty goal, but, you know, you got to set your goals high, right? And even if you don't get it to succeed 100%, it's better to shoot high than shoot low, for sure.
Yeah. And you touched on this a little bit, but can you kind of walk us through the success that Feeding San Diego has had over the years that it's been in business? I mean, what are some of the milestones that you guys have hit?
Well, I think, you know, just the, you know, recognition of that we're out there and we're available, and just, you know, the concept. I just love the concept of the food rescue. And I think it's, you know, it's probably not a new idea. It's so simple, but it's so powerful, right? You know, it's yeah. You know, you go to Vons, has a bunch of stuff, and it's past the sell date, and literally it's on the back patio, and it's either going to the landfill or it's going to us. So it's an environmental play big time as well. You know, I mean, to save millions of pounds going into the landfill and the greenhouse gases, and we're all very, you know, up to date on global warming and stuff, it's a big factor. So I just think that our model and our concept is what's, I wouldn't say revolutionary, but it's some of the best ideas are the simplest ideas, and I think it's fantastic, and we're really looking to expand it.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. The food rescue concept is pretty cool, and it makes a lot of sense. Like, I remember in New Jersey growing up, there was this dumpster where the local grocery store would put the expired stuff that they didn't sell, but it wasn't expired. It was past the use by, and like, it was just a thing for dumb teenagers to go in the dumpster to dumpster dive for the tasty cakes. Very, very Northeast. I will neither confirm nor deny that I have done that, but it's a way better use of the sell by date food, the use by date, to give it to an organization like Feeding San Diego.
Absolutely. And it makes sense from the organization standpoint too, because there's some tax implications, and it actually, you know, they don't have to pay to haul it away to the trash.
Yeah. The tax, I didn't even think about that, because you're giving it away as charitable. Yeah, no, that's so great. Like, that's exciting to hear that's what you guys are prioritizing. And so how can people help out with the mission of Feeding San Diego? Like, do you guys need food donations, money, volunteers? Like, what do you guys need right now?
Yeah, I'd say more so the donations and the volunteerism. You know, I think we're, you know, we're pretty good on food. And like you said, our model isn't necessarily a, you know, the food bank model, even though we technically are. But, you know, feedingsandiego.org is a great site. I think we've done a lot of great things to update that. So, you know, please check that out. And I, you know, I think what's nice about our donors is, and it might be a nice way for people to think about it, is, you know, how we all spend $4 or $5 a month on a lot of these apps, right? Well, you know, if you're going to think about your charitable dollars, you know, do it on a monthly basis. That really helps us a lot. If you can do $20, $25 a month and it just goes to your credit card or as a direct deposit out of your bank, you know, it doesn't cause a lot of pain, but it's recurs. And that's what we, from a fundraising standpoint, really helps us to be able to plan. If we have a lot of monthly income coming in and we know that's going to be there, that just makes it easier for us to grow and to plan and to make our business better.
Yeah, that makes sense. The app analogy is real good. Like monthly, you'd be spending that on maybe like your Starbucks latte and cookie. So why not donate to an org that's going to send that to somebody else as well? So.
We're all used to that model now of having things, you know, directly charged to our credit card or debited, you know, for whatever it is, Netflix or something like that. So yeah. I would encourage people who are charitable minded to think about doing that. I think it's really the best way to help us. And just a sporadic check here and there is great. And of course we'll take it. But if it's steady income, that really helps us.
And do you guys have any meal distributions coming up that Feeding San Diego is sponsoring specifically, or?
Yeah. We have a full list of it. It's on our website. I don't have it right near me, but we have at least two a month here, scheduled out for the next foreseeable future. So I know we have one at Pechanga coming up. I know we have one at the shops at Carlsbad, you know, Palomar College. So just check the websites for the exact dates. But we're active.
Well, that's all that I have for you. Thank you so much for your time this morning. This has been wonderful.
You're welcome, Kelly. My pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
That's all for my conversation with Mark Loretta. He is a former professional baseball player and a board member for Feeding San Diego. To learn more about that organization and to get involved, you can visit their website, feedingsandiego.org. A couple of thank yous on the way out today. Our intern is Will Tran. The Coast News Editor-in-Chief is Jordan Ingram. Our Associate Publisher is Chris Kidd, and our Publisher is Jim Kidd. I'm your host, Kelly Kyle, and we will talk to you next time.